I think if there's an award for the most unnecessarily long title of a presentation, I have won that prize. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm hoping that by the end of this presentation, you'll all have a better sense of how a community of practice can be used to improve cross-departmental collaboration and build capacity around health equity and staff empowerment at an organizational level, and also describe the ways in which improved staff empowerment and equity within a local health department can lead to health equity and empowerment in communities that you serve. And before I move forward, I just wanted to get to know you all a little bit, and you can this can be stand up if or raise your hand if. So you can raise your hand if you're not comfortable standing. I'm going to ask you to stand or raise your hand if you work in a state or local health department. How about federal public health? Hospital? A community-based organization? Social services? Academic setting? Anything else I missed? Okay, let's mix this up a little bit. How about stand up or raise your hand if you've had a beignet in the last 3-4 days? How about a hurricane? Okay, thanks. So now a little context, just to tell you a little bit about the Multnomah County Health Department. So it's primarily an urban county in the northwest corner of Oregon State. It includes Portland and nearly one-fifth of the total state population. The health department is the local public health authority for all of the county, and it's the largest public health local public health department and the largest safety net healthcare provider in the state, when we have over 900 staff working across 5 service areas. So the health department is a leader in providing quality health services, yet health inequities persist in the county. And we know that, in general, people who have less power relative to other groups are also at greater risk for disease and early death. And folks like Nina Wallerstein and Ilona Kickbush have done a lot of work around that arena. And we like to look at empowering health promotion as a way of addressing that connection and that relationship between equity, powerlessness, and health by focusing on assisting communities to gain greater control over the conditions that affect their lives. And a moniker that we've kind of started using in the health department is health equity is the why, and empowering health promotion is the how. So I'm not going to talk too much about the change process itself. That's for another presentation, but just to give you some background, the health promotion change process was established to help the department address some of these inequities and improve the health of the people of Multnomah County by building competence around equity and empowerment, both as concepts as well as how that is embodied in their work among staff, to increase coordination and collaboration among health department programs, and to make available the successes and challenges of the health promotion change process implementation for others to use in replication efforts. I think we've heard a lot throughout this conference about social determinants of health, empowerment, health equity in our communities, and this work and these change process goals are really about embodying those values internally and understanding what that looks like. I think a lot of times we can focus externally in our communities, but then if we look internally, organizationally, there are inequities and people are experiencing disempowerment as staff, and that can really, it's a real disconnect that this process also addresses. So first, before I talk about the health promotion community of practice, I just want to introduce you, for those who aren't familiar, with a community of practice in general. The idea was really established by ATN Wenger Trainer, who's a thought leader in social learning theory and communities of practice. And it's the idea of a group of people who engage in a process of collective learning in a shared domain of human endeavor. And some kind of common elements of communities of practice generally are that they have a shared area of interest, They engage in joint activities and discussion. They share information and offer mutual support. And they develop a shared repertoire of resources. So the health promotion community of practice, which if I may refer to as the CFP, that's what we call it. It's easier than saying community of practice each time. So it served this more traditional role of a community of practice, but it also was the work group that was tasked with implementing the aims of the health promotion change process. That said, I, at the time, was the only full-time staff person funded to kind of coordinate the group and carry forward the work. And the community of practice was established in 2008. It was comprised of staff from all across the health department who were basically, their supervisors were signing off that they could commit 0.1 FTE or 4 hours of their time a week to this work, and it represented folks from all different service areas, job classifications, basically folks who normally may not have other opportunities to work together. In our health department, it's very siloed. We offer clinical services, and it seems to operate as a separate organization, and this was really an opportunity to bring folks together to really think about how we can share common goals and common values across the department. And the membership term officially is 2 years. That said, it hasn't been formally enforced, partly because, as I said, I was the only staff person and I needed help to maintain that capacity. So, and people have really been engaged, and they, most typically, they stay on as members unless they, usually what happens is they move up into positions of high responsibility and aren't able to continue participating. So last fall, we had the opportunity to bring on an intern, Stephen Richard, who I'm sorry couldn't be here today. He was a Master of Public Health candidate at Portland State University, and he conducted in-depth interviews with current and past community of practice members. And what he was trying to get a sense of, it was really just kind of a more descriptive understanding of the community of practice, the structure, the processes of the community of practice, how the group evolved over time. What were our underlying values, strengths, and challenges? And really, given that we were not a traditional community of practice, what made the community of practice distinct? And so, as I said, he did in-depth interviews with 14 existing, which was all the current community of practice members, and 5 former community of practice members. And he recorded and transcribed and then analyzed all the interviews using the TAMS Analyzer Data Analysis software. So before I talk about findings a little bit, I just want to point out that there's really a clear overlap between what people spoke of as distinguishing characteristics, driving values, and strengths. In other words, what people viewed as characteristics that were unique to their experience in the community of practice were also those things that they thought were strengths. So several members reported that the participatory and collaborative nature of the group was different than other work groups that they participate in. We make all decisions collectively. Leadership is shared, and by that I mean things like we rotate the facilitation responsibilities, and so different work group members develop the agenda, find readings for the group to respond to and discuss. And that, again, was also something that they didn't experience in other work groups in the health department. And then another piece that people really spoke to was that they felt that the community of practice was a uniquely safe space. It was a space for people to bring, something they said a lot was, we're able to bring our whole selves here. I hope I'm actually going into the microphone. You can hear me, I'm assuming? Okay. And they talked about the culture as one that really continuously empowers members, that they're able to speak their truth. They can challenge, it's a space where they can really challenge the status quo without experiencing repercussions, which is also something that we may not always know in a government structure when we're trying to challenge how things have always been done. Sometimes there can be a feeling of risk, that your safety, you know, your employment is threatened. And so I think this was a space where people felt like they could really ask those critical questions in a way that they wouldn't face repercussions. So another focus that the interview sought to identify was common values shared by the group working process and the group's structure. And while it may not be surprising, given that this is part of our whole goal, that empowerment and equity were noted just over and above any other value, it might seem obvious, but I feel like it was reassuring that people felt that those were the driving values that really were operating in the group. Because again, I think a lot of times I, as the lead for the group, can be thinking so much about how I'm doing work in an empowering, equitable way, yet I can be making decisions, you know, on my own, and I can be not actually manifesting those values. And so the fact that people really felt that that was manifested in how the group operated was great to hear. And I think in terms of how the values and principles were upheld, it was the shared leadership, participatory structure that I mentioned earlier, opportunities to work cross-departmentally. And another piece I should mention that really drove this value was that we used popular education methods and philosophies to really drive how we operated in the group. And is anyone in the group, are people familiar with popular education? Okay, so typically what I would do if I were using popular education is ask the group, who in the group would like to share what popular education is? And so what that's saying is that one, popular education is a philosophy and a method of educating and organizing that really starts with what people already know. And the person who's most prominently affiliated with popular education is a Brazilian by the name of Paulo Freire, who was an educator there. And it really acknowledges that everyone has something valuable to contribute. And it's a very interactive, collaborative, participatory way of facilitating meetings versus one person kind of standing at the lead and talking at other people, as I am doing right now. So some of the challenges, I think most of the challenges that people spoke of relate to this hybrid model. Given that a hybrid model can draw different types of people, when people are looking for a traditional participation in a traditional community of practice, they're looking to build their collective learning around a specific issue. That said, we were also the group that was tasked with really building capacity throughout the health department. And so some people who are naturally identifying and applying to become members of the community of practice already were really grounded in principles of equity and empowerment and practicing empowering health promotion. And so we had so-called experts in the group who were there because they really wanted to build the skills among their colleagues, and we also had people who were coming there to learn. And so I think for those who were coming there to learn, they felt that they wished that they had had more orientation at the beginning, more mentoring. Another challenge was around establishing a group vision and ambiguity of purpose. And I think what this speaks to is that the health promotion community of practice and the health promotion change process for the last 5 years has been operating in a changing environment, an environment that's moving. An example is that when the group was first established, the goal was to really build equity and empowerment in the communities we serve. And as I mentioned earlier, what became clear when we started doing trainings throughout the entire health department was that what was coming back to us again and again and again was, you're talking to me about how I can do my work in a more empowering way, yet as a clinician, I have 10 minutes with a patient, and I would love to engage this patient and ask them questions, but I don't have the time, and it's because I'm disempowered. Even coming to this training, you know, which you said was which some power above said was mandatory, I'm losing time with patients that I then need to make up at another time. And we were getting a lot of this pushback, and we realized, again, we really can't be talking about addressing inequities in our communities if people within the health department are feeling so disempowered and feeling like there's so many inequities in how they're experiencing their employment in the organization. And so we shifted, all that to say, we shifted our focus from an external focus to an internal focus. And so with that, I think how we marketed, what our organizational visibility looked like, shifted as well. We also had limited capacity. As I mentioned earlier, I was the only funded staff person, and the other people, while in theory they were devoting 4 hours a week of their time and their supervisor was signing off that their workload would be reduced by that much time, in reality, that wasn't the case. They were doing it because their supervisor supported their participation, and they were doing this over and above their workload. And so capacity really ebbed and flowed as people had other priorities on their plate. And so all of this said, and this is the exciting stuff that has happened since I submitted this abstract in February, and if I had even like two more months, I'd have a lot more to present to you on this. We're in a really critical time at the Multnomah County Health Department, and I think things are shifting in a way that's going to allow us to align this work better with other efforts in the health department. We have new leadership. We have a new public health a new director of the health department and a new public health deputy who are both really committed to looking at how we can build up staff capacity, how we can reorient how we allocate resources internally and in the programs externally to really address health inequities. They're committed to mapping out a concrete plan for what that would look like, not just, for example, not just saying we're going to, you know, we're committed to using culturally specific approaches in our work, but what culturally specific approaches? How do the policies we're promoting and how do the resources we're allocating reflect that and really making that clear to our communities? We have a briefing in December. We're presenting on a health disparities report that was done, and I think that's really going to be kind of the kickoff for a new way of doing business in the health department based on some of the things I just mentioned. We have a board of county commissioners who's really engaged in addressing the social determinants of health that impact health inequities, so that's another really exciting thing. And then my position, I am now the manager of the Health Equity Initiative at the Health Department, and so I'm in a better place to align the work of health equity externally and health equity internally, given that I've been in both roles. And bringing this back to QI, I think we're also in a place where we're about to launch a governing board to really oversee all the work across the Health Department and align so that, again, I think the breaking down of the silos and looking at QI using an equity lens and looking at how we're using QI in our efforts to achieve equity. I realize that I speak a lot slower or something because I'm completely out of time, but just a couple of things that we're doing now. We have a new employee orientation every month, and all health department staff, new staff, go through it in the first 6 weeks of their employment. And we have a session, an introduction to equity, empowerment, and empowering health promotion at the new employee orientation. The community of practice members have been skilled up in applying an equity and empowerment lens to their own work, as well as helping others throughout the health department who are interested in applying an equity and empowerment lens. And when I talk about a lens, I'm talking about something that can be applied to a budget, a program budget, as something as expansive as that, or even how am I facilitating meetings and how can I ask questions about how I'm doing this in a more equitable way. And we also serve as an informal advisory board or advisory group on issues of equity and empowerment throughout the health department. This is just an example. You may have seen this in other areas of work, but this is an example of one of the images that we spend a lot of time discussing to demonstrate the differences between equality and equity in our work at the new employee orientation. I'm not going to talk too much about the lens because I believe I am out of time, but as I said, it's a tool that's actually a countywide tool that asks some key questions, and these are just some examples of some of the questions in a simplified version that you can ask and that you can apply to any policy, any programmatic decision, big or small, and then it helps you reflect on how you can be doing that work differently. And it's not really a tool that tells you how to do those things. It's a tool that provokes you to really think critically in the first place and raise questions that you may not have thought of before. And so, again, I just want to reiterate, we're on the cusp of moving in a really exciting direction, and a couple of quotes that folks have shared, former community of practice members and current community of practice members. The work continues to inspire me to ensure that clients are included in decision-making, thus leading also to a focus on plain language, health literacy, recognizing the expertise that our clients bring to the work. This is a current member who shared that he could see how the efforts and activities of the community of practice were truly transformational in driving organizational change in our department. It has been exciting and rewarding, albeit frustrating at times, to be a part of that. And he also said, my greatest learning from being involved in the community of practice is that empowering approaches to health promotion, really empowering approaches to any type of work, requires early and authentic engagement to the people and communities being impacted by a decision. Challenging myself and others to live this truth characterizes how I approach my work, whether I'm working with community partners or an internal health department process. So we are, as I said, establishing a work group to align with other initiatives and programs throughout the health department that are focused on empowerment, equity, and cultural competence. And we're also exploring renaming and restructuring our work to accurately reflect the scope of work and maximize our capacity. I think when we've called ourselves the health promotion community of practice, a lot of times throughout the health department, people are thinking of a more traditional definition of health promotion where they're focused on individual behavior change. And we realize that really the work reflects addressing the whole scope of empowering health promotion and looking at all levels of the socioecological model. So that's it. Thank you.